Welcome to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane here with Ryan Dobson.
Dad, we are so pleased to be here today and joined by a man who is truly a champion of so many things that we believe in.
Mm-hmm. And one of my great friends, Ryan. We're honored to be joined today on Family Talk by a man that I respect highly, as much as anybody in the U.S. Congress. He's joining us by phone because he's a very busy man and he's hard at work in the nation's capital. And I'm speaking of Congressman Frank Wolf. He is a U.S. representative from Virginia's 10th Congressional District, and he's been in that post since 1981, 31 years. And the work that he's done has just, it puts a lump in my throat. Because this man is a treasure to this country. Mm. He's chairman of the Commerce Justice Science Subcommittee, and he serves on the Transportation, Housing, and Urban Development and State and Foreign Operations Subcommittees. He has a law degree from Georgetown University, and he and his wife, Carolyn, have 5 adult children and 16 grandchildren. And Congressman Wolf, I am so delighted to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Jim. I am glad to be here because of all the people that I know, you had a bigger impact on my wife and myself and my family than anybody else. When I saw your film, Where's Dad, back in the early 80s, I wrote you a letter and then I gave you a call. And have developed a friendship and a respect. And as I was saying, my kids, we have 5 children. They're all married. One actually lives out in California, 4 here on the East Coast. They would say BD and AD. BD meant before Dobson, and AD meant after Dobson. I had run for Congress in 76 and lost, ran for Congress in 78 and lost, and then won in 1980 more because of President Reagan than actually me. And I was never home for about a period of 5 years. And when I saw your film, when your quote from Harry Chapin's song, Cats in a Cradle, and that just impacted me. And you have made a tremendous difference in my life, and my kids can attest to that. And I think a lot of other people. I have shown your film to so many people. And, of course, near the end, you know, you're the first one, you're lapels are very, very wide. It's a pretty ugly sport coat. I'll be your favorite one.
And the sideburns
are long. But I'll tell you, the message is powerful. And I think every man who has a family ought to hear that message. And I'm excited that you're updating it, and everyone ought to hear it. Everyone ought to see it because it is so, so powerful. I can attest, not what someone told me, but what I've experienced. And I thank God. My wife and I were married a while back. This is coming up this September. Will be our 51st wedding anniversary. And I really attribute a lot of I almost feel like a member of your family. You had to hear about Ryan crawling up in your lap, and your dad and everything else. I really feel you really impacted on me. But more importantly, impacted on my marriage, and equally more important, impacted on the raising of my 5 kids. And
well, it is mutual, Frank, and I appreciate you so much. You know, I don't remember where I met you. I know you came out to California, and I think it was 81, wasn't it?
Yeah, I did. After I seen your film, I dropped you in and I called you, and I drove out. I was so excited. I took 2 of my kids. I took 2 of my daughters. I went out there, and we drove down to you where you're living near a place near Arcadia.
Yeah, we lived in Arcadia, yes.
And you took me to the studio. I think you only had 6 or 8 people working for you. And then you took us out to, is it Marie Callender's?
Marie Callender's, that's
and
right.
And we had pie. And we just had a great time, but that's the first time I met you.
Well, you know, we've been tracking each other because Shirley and I were married in 1960, so we're coming up on the 52nd wedding anniversary. I was doing the same thing you were doing, although I hadn't met you by that point. But then you got a law degree. Now you've written a book that we want to talk with you about today. This is a good book that I hope many of our listeners will get. It is titled Prisoner of Conscience, One Man's Crusade for Global Human and Religious Rights. That has really been the passion of your professional life as a congressman, hasn't it?
Well, it really has been one of the lead passions. And the person who urged me to write the book and actually help me was somebody that I know has been on your radio show, and you've dealt with that, Chuck Colson. Chuck was like a mentor to me. Mm-hmm. He was the person who combined the hard realities of tough politics with a strong, strong faith. And Chuck urged me to write the book. Actually, did the foreword for me in the book. But it's about human rights, religious freedom, and when you look and see what's taking place today in China, you have Catholic bishops under house arrest, Protestant pastors in jail that plunder Tibet. In Iraq, you have the Iraqi Christian community has been just whittled down to almost nothing. And yet more biblical activity took place in Iraq than any other country other than Israel. I mean, Abraham's from Iraq, Esther's from Iraq, Babylon, Jonah, Daniel's buried in Kirkuk. But the Iraqi Christian community is being slaughtered. We see the same thing taking place in Vietnam and in Egypt. The Coptic Christians live in fear. So it sort of lays out some of the trips that I've taken and some of the issues we've been involved in, and urging the faith community particularly to speak out and advocate for those around the world who are believers who are being persecuted mainly because of their faith.
You mentioned Chuck Colson being a mentor to you. He was also a mentor to me and had great influence on my life. And one of the challenges he had was to cool me down and keep me from getting ticked off at the world, especially your world there in Washington, D.C. And he had such a cool head about things. He had been, of course, 20 feet away from Richard Nixon in the White House. His office was right next door. And I have your book in front of me, Frank, and I have your foreword that was written by Chuck Colson. And it says this: in every generation, God chooses a handful of courageous leaders to defend the truth and promote righteousness, often against the prevailing currents. Frank Wolf is such a man for our time. He is the patron saint of the unpopular cause. Frank is a modern-day William Wilberforce. Mm-hmm. Boy, I think that about says it all, and I agree with every word of what he wrote.
Well, thank you. Chuck was a good guy. We're going to miss I don't know who's going to take Chuck's place. And my wife and I had some time with he and Patty down in Florida, and then Chuck's offices up here are in my congressional district, and when he was taken to the hospital, we went over there that day. But Chuck was a really great man, and I really do not see somebody on the scene. Hopefully someone will come out, but as of now, there is not another Chuck Colson.
Frank, you are a standout congressman and have done so much for the cause of righteousness that Chuck Colson wrote about. Take us back to your childhood. Were you a standout student when you were in elementary school and junior high and high school? Did people look at you and say, there's a future leader?
No, I'm smiling. No. I stuttered very badly. I still stutter now. I love your book, Hide or Seek. I get so much out of that book. I don't know if anyone reads it anymore, but Hide or Seek, being able to speak out. When I was a kid, I stuttered very much, was laughed at, ridiculed, criticized. I remember I told people I wanted to run for Congress, and they laughed and said, you can't even speak before your own class. Mm. And I didn't go to college for a couple of years. I worked construction and did a lot of other things. But no, I went back to class reunions, they couldn't believe it. I still get calls saying, you know, I went to school with this guy named Wolf. I'm sure it's not you, because, mm-hmm. but do you know? And I'd say, yeah, that's. No, I was not the guy that would be. I was 176 out of a class of 190. And, so, no, not me.
Well,
no.
That'll give hope to parents out there who see something
and stuttered
less than greatness.
In fact, Jim, I'll tell you, had I not stuttered, I wouldn't be in Congress. The stutter was a gift from God. That stutter gave me the drive and the determination. There was a book out called Uncommon Gift. That was a gift. I remember as a young kid, you would try to call somebody up or call a girl for a date, and you'd hang up the phone. You couldn't speak. But that that was a gift. So the stuttering was positive now, negative then. And I still stutter when I get very tired and all, the stuttering comes back. But no, I would not be the one you thought was going to, you know, do anything.
Congressman, we know your faith is an important part of your life. Can you share with us how you came to know the Lord?
Well, it was gradual. My mom and dad, my mom particularly, took me to Sunday school. I always would have answered I was a Christian. But really, my faith deepened when I got elected to Congress. I joined a small group, a little Bible study with a couple Republicans, a couple Democrats. Jim Dobson, there was a few people. Bob McEwen was in the group. Dan Coats, now senator from Indiana, was in a group. Congressman Tony Hall, a Democrat from Ohio. And the group still meets. And in fact, Congressman Tony Hall, who's a Democrat, he's my best friend in Congress. But that small Bible study and some of the things that developed, and then my wife joined a small group with the wives of the men that were in the group. But I think my faith really deepened after I got elected to Congress. That may seem counterintuitive, you know, with the stories you hear, but
that's encouraging.
Being in a small group really, I think, was I went deeper and deeper. And I think a lot of what Jim wrote in his book, if you read Straight Talk, it was about Jim's dad, and he was a pastor, and there are different things that he would talk about faith. And so I think those things kind of came all together, but really it went deeper when I got elected to Congress and joined that small group of what, and we still meet. The group meets every Tuesday in the Capitol, and it's bipartisan, Republican and Democrat, and we put away our differences. So the friendship that developed in the faith walk really kind of was strengthened by that small group that still to this day meets.
Mm-hmm. Frank, you have traveled to the roughest part of the world, looking primarily at human rights abuses in those places. You've been to the Sudan and Ecuador and China and Tibet and Iraq and Afghanistan, and on it goes, Romania. And you have been deeply affected by what you saw there about the way people are treated and the murders that take place sponsored by the state, and what happens in the prisons in those dictatorial regimes. Is that what has primarily driven your desire to make a difference in regard to human rights?
Jim, that was a large portion of it. Tony Hall in 1984, if you remember the Ethiopian famine, urged me to go to Ethiopia. I got waylaid. I flew out to Ethiopia, got stuck in a place and couldn't get out. Finally, World Vision put me on an airplane and took me up to a camp by Alamata. And it was a camp Mother Teresa ran one camp, and World Vision ran the other. That was a life-changing trip. I mean, before that, I was not interested in these issues. And he also took me to Romania with Congressman Chris Smith, where we saw churches that were bulldozed. We went to the Baptist church in Oradea, a moving experience, and seeing what the communists were doing. So those two trips were kind of the defining bookend trips that drove me to kind of go on and get involved in human rights and religious freedom. And I spent a lot of time on it. But had I not seen it, it's one thing to read it, but if you can to see it, smell it, taste it, experience it, wake up in the morning and see the woman wailing with her kids and see the funerals that are being held and see how little you sort of just say, wow. And so we, on those two trips, it sort of just changed my whole direction. Before that time, these were not issues I was interested in.
Well, I have stood in your office and seen videos that you took in prisons and seeing infants that were getting absolutely no attention and no care, and how it broke your heart. You talk quite a bit in your new book, Prisoner of Conscience, about China, and I have in front of me some of the excerpts from that book, and I want to read them, a few of them, to our listeners, because that'll really make the case. You said, China still uses forced labor for much of its textile production and manufacturing. Many of these slaves work 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. Some of the slaves are children. If you buy a product stamped with Made in China, it could have been made by the hands of someone forced to labor in prison for speaking out for democracy or worshiping in their church. Of course, it's technically illegal for anything made by slave labor to be imported into the United States, but these labor camps are skilled at erasing their footprints, usually through layers of subcontractors. If you own anything made by Apple, HP, Dell, Microsoft, or Nintendo, chances are it was made by one of the worst paid factories, not forced labor, but it's called Foxconn. Workers get paid $300 a month and work 60 hours a week. The suicide rate among factory workers in China is incredibly high. There were just stunning stories. I've got pages of those quotes here. And yet America gives favored nation status to China, which you opposed and I opposed, and for reasons that I'm not really clear on, it was granted.
Money. It was money. And I think it was a mistake to give an MFN. Right now, if you have an iPad, it's made in Foxconn. If you have an iPod, you have an iPhone, they're made in China. Some of the suicide rate in that those factories are unbelievable. What they're doing to the people. Also, many of the plastic flowers that you buy are in what they call the logi, the slave labor camps. I won't mention companies, but it's pretty clear who I'm talking about. But much of the, like your electric lights that you put up around your Christmas tree at Christmas time, a lot of them were made in camps by people that are quasi slave labor. Yeah, they are doing things in China, and yet our government doesn't want to really say anything. One, it's very difficult because the more we borrow from them, the more they get their claws in us. And there are many Chinese companies that are coming over here buying portions of America. And some of these other Chinese companies are doing things, and I won't mention them on the radio today, are doing things against our government. They're spying against us. They're doing all these things. And yet money. You want to say money, and greed. A lot of companies are making a lot of money by going over there. Now, those wage rates are beginning to go up, and I think it's time for us to repatriate, to tell these companies, come on home. Apple ought to return home. Make the iPhone, the iPad, the iPod, make it in the United States. Bring these call centers back. Do these things, and we can do it. But, yes, some of it is rank slave labor. Read Harry Wu's book. Others is quasi-slave labor, where they're making these people work 7 days a week for 28 straight days and living in dorms and bad working conditions so we can get a cheap product. Mm-hmm. It's money.
Let's go back to the Olympics in 2008, which were, of course, held in Beijing. And you were opposed and you advised President Bush not to accept the invitation of the Chinese premier to the opening ceremonies, but he did, didn't he?
He did. I thought it was a mistake for President Bush to go there because it gave them sort of a vote of confidence, if you would. Jim, they were doing things and still are doing things that are very, very bad. When we were there, Chris Smith and I were there 2 weeks before the 2008 Olympics. We had a meeting set up with a lot of religious leaders. Everyone that was invited to our dinner was arrested or beaten up. And the one person that made it was beaten up the next day. Mm-hmm. And we urged them to speak out. We went to the American Embassy. I don't know if I should mention names. It's in the book of who we met with, urging them to speak out, and they did not speak out. So let me make it clear. This administration, the Obama administration's policies on foreign human rights and religious freedom is bad. But I must say, to be fair, the last 2 years of the Bush administration in China were no better. And I think in order to be consistent, you've got to speak truth. I think Bush personally cared very deeply about these issues. But his State Department was a disaster. And from 2006 to 2008, leading up to the Olympics, we would never push the Chinese. I even wrote a letter to all the Bush appointees asking them, when they went to China, would they worship at a house church? Or if they don't want to worship, would they just go to the house church, just be there And I think no one did. And we've asked the same thing of this administration, and no one has done it. So both administrations on the issue of China were not very good.
We're going to break into our conversation with Congressman Frank Wolf here on this Family Talk broadcast, and we'll pick up tomorrow to hear more of his heart on some of these important issues that are currently facing our country.
In the meantime, though, you can find out how to get a copy of Congressman Wolf's book. It's called Prisoner of Conscience. Simply go to drjamesdobson.org. Dr. Dobson, we are so grateful for the time this gentleman was able to spend with us today.
You know, I really enjoyed that interview, and I hope that our listeners did too. I've known Congressman Wolf for at least 30 years, as I mentioned before. He is a good man. He is very committed to human rights, very committed to the family. I have just worked with him for a number of years, but I thought what he said today about our original film series was very generous and very, very encouraging to me, particularly now as we're getting ready to do another film series called Building a Family Legacy. And if the first film series represented the first half of a bookend, which was intended for young families, it was intended for those who were at that time raising children. I talked about marriage too and so on. But that generation has now gone on through the years like the rest of us, and they are grandparents. And a new generation has come along that does not know those principles that we talked about at that time, for the most part. And so we are now recalibrating our efforts to reach the present generation. That's what we're into right now, and it's all we can handle, I'll tell you that.
Well, many of us on the staff, Doctor, were privileged to join you in San Diego when you recorded brand new messages for this series.
Well, Dr. Jim Garlow, who is the pastor of the Skyline Church in San Diego, opened the doors to us, did everything he could to help us, and we had a huge crowd every night. There were eight films that were completed during that period of time, and the people at Skyline could not have been more generous to us. So this is an exciting time, an exciting project, and it's good to be back before cameras again. By the way, Ryan, we should let people know that the final message in that eight-message series was delivered by you, and you did an outstanding job, and it was really fun working with you there.
It really was an honor to be a part of this project. The original film series was so helpful to so many people when it first came out, and I think this has the potential to at least equal that, if not best it.
Well, we're praying that that will be the case.
Well, we certainly hope that those of you listening will sign up for updates on the release date for this project. Again, look for all of the highlights on Building a Family Legacy that will be available as a DVD series. You can find that link at drjamesdobson.org or ask about it when you call us very quickly, 877-732-6825.
You know, Dad, this film series really does represent the core of what Family Talk is all about, and really your lifelong ministry. We want to be there for families who need help, whether they're in a crisis or just looking for support for the day-to-day aspects of life. And if anyone listening, if you are looking for specific help for your own situation today, email us or call us. We will do everything we can to connect you to the resources you need to strengthen your family. One of them I can mention is also at drjamesdobson.org. Dad, that's your Solid Answers series, where people have asked specific questions about marriage and parenting and culture, and we have those questions and answers not only on our website, but on the brand new Family Talk app as well.
And we're going to be talking more about that, because that's the cutting edge. That's what's happening here at Family Talk that we're all very, very excited about. I would like, Luann, here at the close of the program and near the close of August,
say
that this has been a rather dry summer for us. I mean, You know, so many people are struggling financially, but we are too. And I really would like to ask our listeners that can help us to send a contribution, because this is a very difficult time for us right now. We're going into September. We hope things will get a little better, but we're not the only ones, but we're mm-hmm. one of them that mm-hmm. could sure use some financial help from our listeners.
Well, Doctor, as we saw evidenced by the throngs of people that came to the film series taping, there's a huge need out there. Families are hurting,
that's right.
as you've also said, Ryan. Family Talk wants to be here, but we can't do it without mm-hmm. people stepping up with us. So
it was sure encouraging that there was a full house almost every night, and people were so warm. There's just a lot of appreciation out there for what we're doing, and I feel really rewarded by the response of people, and I believe God is blessing what we're doing here. We're hearing good things about what we're doing.
And the Lord is not done with you yet, Doctor.
Hope not.
People can donate online by clicking the Donate tab at drjamesdobson.org, or one last time, you can reach us by calling 877-732-6825.
Thanks so much for spending this time with us today. And do return tomorrow for one more day with Congressman Frank Wolf. That's right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.